Joining us now in our studios is Ben Martin, Northfield's City Administrator. Ben, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff.
How are you doing today?
Very good. How are you?
Good. Late night for you? Did you stay up and watch all the election results?
Oh, yeah. Probably mostly focused on some of the state and local stuff, but definitely I was up late paying attention and seeing what the voters were saying to us.
Let's start off with that. The elections are done. We'll have new council people. The referendum was not voted in, so it's it failed last night. Why don't we start off with that? I know you have, coming from Marshall, you have experience with those referendums before. During your time there, they approved a new arena. Was that done on the first try? What were you surprised by the results here? Just give us your thoughts.
Yeah, I'd say first of all that I think that there was a really strong effort here on getting information out, so I do feel pretty strongly that there was good info out there for people, and it was accessible if they were interested in getting it, and people were engaged, and I think you were part of that as well, encouraging people to discuss the issues, so that was good. Just going into it, I guess, just from the election results, you know, Dundas was pretty close. It failed both in Northfield and in Dundas, but I think it was 16 votes or so, maybe in the Dundas that it failed. So pretty close there. And then locally, I think the numbers were about, 55-45 roughly split. So still a ways off from approval, but yet I think that says that there was a lot of support for it. And I think one of the things is I kind of reflect back on the education. I think, you know, as a city-owned facility, I think a lot of people recognize a lot of the substandard conditions that we have with the facility and the need to be stewards of our public assets. And so I think that was one thing, recognizing also that within our park system, a need for additional funding and some of our capital needs are some of the takeaways that I think are still there for us to think about. But we also have to sit back and reflect and talk to some people and see, you know, what were people's reactions? What did they think about it? And what other alternatives are there? Kind of looking at Marshall's example, I think, too, they were successful on their first local referendum, but it took us a long time, too, to get to that point. We did. It was a little, every project's unique. We actually had some state funding, some state bonding funding, and then we also had authorization for two different types of sales taxes, and it took us multiple legislative sessions. It took a long time for us to get there. And I guess one takeaway from that is persistence and perseverance, I guess, on projects that this is on our strategic plan to figure out a solution to the arena, and we still got two more years on that. So it's not going to go away, and I think we talked about that on the education for the public as well leading into the referendum. So I think we're going to continue to go back to say, okay, that didn't work. What do we do from here? We have to look at some solutions. We had a lot of support for it, but we also had some oppositions, and the voters spoke, and so we need to look at other options.
We also got a new city councilor. We had a couple of three actually elections. Susie Nicasian ran unopposed. She was reelected. Jessica Peterson White was reelected in Ward 4. And Greg Colby, who was one of the at large councilors, who was defeated last night by Clarice Grabo. So, you know, I'm not going to ask you to comment on any of those. Obviously, you're going to be working with them. But as far as that process goes, do you have to, the city has to certify those? Do we have to go through some type of vetting process with that?
Yeah, there's a formal kind of canvassing of the results that we'll be doing at our council meeting next Tuesday. So we had a little bit of break with this election in the end of the month last month. So that will be part of the process. And, of course, the office takes office in the new year, basically, with our one new council member. So we'll be doing some swearing-in procedures at that time. But maybe just generally, I can say that all of our elected officials make significant sacrifices in our community. It takes some bravery to go out there and be out in the public and take policy positions and work for the community. I know all of them put in a lot of hours and take their roles very seriously. So Councillor Colby certainly has served honorably and responsibly in his office, and will work with Clarice on her transitioning in as well. But those procedures will be happening and kind of rolling into the new year locally with a little bit of a change on the council.
All right. Anything else about the elections last night before we move on?
I don't think so. You know, we'll probably do some follow-up with the city clerk's office just to see,
okay,
you know, what were the early voting statistics, what were those numbers, and so we'll be working with you and Terry on getting that information out to the probably more Terry as you're laughing there. So.
Probably, yeah. We've been talking about that for a couple of days. I've talked to so many people that have voted early this year, and, you know, that kind of changes the dynamic of an election period as far as the campaign cycle goes. So we're interested in seeing how many voters early, and with the laws that were changed a couple of election cycles ago, that's made a big difference.
Absolutely.
All right. What else we have to talk about today, Ben?
Well, you know, as snow was flying a little bit again last night and a little bit of a chill back in the air, it's kind of strange with this weather. You know, you get the warm and then the cold again, but we still have construction projects going on. So Washington Street, we're continuing to do some concrete work and to try and finish that out. Really what we're looking at realistically, though, is that we're probably going to be going here into the winter season with the existing pavement as it is. So we did some patching on the areas where the concrete bump outs were put in and curb replacements. So we'll probably be just leaving that in place, opening the streets up, and then in the springtime when the weather breaks, we'll be actually putting in the new pavement at that time. We still also have a few bump outs left to do on the north side of Washington Street, so 4th, 3rd, and 2nd Street. We'll have some additional work to do in the spring as well. So they've been really making a lot of progress here at the end of the season. So that's the status of that street. 7th Street, we're hoping to be finishing up our concrete work this week on 7th, the portions that aren't completed, and then getting into the paving next week. So we're on track, I guess, for that one to be completed and wrapped up here going into the winter season. Mm-hmm. So
those construction projects not getting done this year, is that just a product of the weather? And we've had, autumn has been pretty much missing this year out of the calendar. We've almost gone straight into a winter. But is that a byproduct of what the weather has done this year?
Combination, I would say, of some weather conditions and just capacity of the contractor, I guess, as far as their crews that they have and how much work that they have. On the bidding environment that we get the lowest responsible bidder and working with them, and our current contractor does have a lot of other work out there as well. So it's probably a combination of those two things. And the good news, I guess, is that we got a lot of progress done, and ultimately, from a usability standpoint, users shouldn't see a whole lot of impact for them other than a little more inconvenience back in the spring, I guess.
Okay. As far as the price tag goes, if their whole crews get a $2 an hour raise at the beginning of the year, do we have to pay for that, or is that, does the bid stick, or what
happens? No, I don't have the details here. No, okay. It would be the answer to that, and we might also actually get some penalty fees in addition for not getting the contract work done early, so there's probably some extra payment to us coming in, but I would need to check with Dave Bennett, our engineer, on the details of that.
And I'd like to add to that, I see the guys out there working in this cold weather and everything. Good luck with the raise, and I hope it's at least $2 an hour, because you guys are earning it out there, the construction workers. So
we'll pass that along.
You pass that along, that I'm not
the workers will like them. It.
Yeah, just trying to speak for the taxpayers here. Construction, anything else on the construction?
You know, just on the fire station project, that continues to roll on. People probably seeing there's been a lot of roof work. They can kind of see that from the outside. They're working on putting new windows in, so the window replacements are going in on that. So, and it looks like all the concrete bituminous works pretty good there, but the landscaping is going to carry over into the new year. So still plugging away on that project, and as on the last tour that we had too, that Terry was on, things are going on the inside people can't see as well, but that project's progressing as well.
All right. We've gone through the elections. We have gone through the construction season. What else is going on, Ben?
Yeah, so a little look forward, I guess, since we're on the infrastructure topic. We're going to have a couple actions on Spring Creek Road coming up. Some annexations that are planned that are needed to get some of the right-of-way, and we're getting easement acquisitions from some of the ownership, and then award of the project coming in under bid as well on that one. So over the next couple council members, we'll be dealing with both of those issues. And then the other thing just down the road from that is, we know the intersection of 246 and Jeff Parkway has been an identified issue for quite some time, and we got a little bit of a surprise that one of the previous MnDOT grants that we had applied for that we were unsuccessful on, some money opened up within their system. And so we were notified that we were awarded up to $900,000 for our improvement project on that intersection to look at adding in a roundabout at that location. Mm-hmm. So again, on a $1.8 million project, $900,000 of that. Currently, it appears that we got some grant dollars for that. We also have an outstanding one, the application in for an additional $480,000 we are asking for that we should be finding out in mid-December whether or not we were awarded for that one as well. Mm. So some good news, I guess, on potential solutions, and it'll probably activate some more serious discussions on that particular project again.
Yeah, that project by the schools out there is going to be an interesting one. You know, that is the roundabout. It seems like a good idea for our good usage, and I'm not a big roundabout fan, but that's mm-hmm. a place where it might work pretty well. But you also have to factor in that there's going to be large trucks, semis, probably farm equipment and tractors and such. That adds a little dynamic to it that you may not see in some of the residential areas.
Absolutely. The good news is that these aren't new anymore. And excuse me, I think there's been a lot of things learned from MnDOT over the years, that over a decade that they've had been installing these. So hopefully they're better at the design, and they can understand those things and really kind of getting into those computer modeling and things as well. So we have a long ways to go on design and even talking about financing mm-hmm. and probably also some policy discussions about, okay, what about the underpass idea? Do we want to look at one or two underpasses related to the project as well? So that will definitely be an upcoming conversation with our city council.
All right. If everything goes smoothly, what year do you think that project would be looking at completion?
This is just an early estimation based on kind of where we're at today. Is it likely 2019 would be a design year?
Okay.
And 2020 would be a construction year potentially on that if things were to fall into place. But I think that would probably be a realistic expectation on it.
Boy, that's quicker than I thought.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Like I said, this is an early prediction for me.
We'll see. All right. Once again, City Administrator Ben Martig is our guest today. Mr. Martig, anything else?
Just one little thing, and I know you've had some people on the radio station talking about our trivia be for the Library Foundation coming up this Friday, so it's not too late to still participate in that. And just a fun activity and a family event, so if you're able to come out and you like trivia or you just want to watch, you can certainly do that as well.
Now, does the city have a city hall have a team together?
We don't have an official city team. However, I have committed myself to be participating, so my son and I've got one other person, and we're trying to work on a fourth, so we'll see how that goes.
All right.
And it'll be fun. I haven't done it yet, so I'm looking forward to it.
you seem like you'd be a good trivia person.
Right.
For me.
And I think I know there's other people involved, or one of our council members is, I think, one of the head people that leads that as well.
Jessica Peterson-White.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Wonderful. Ben, thank you so much for coming in today. We certainly appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Northfield City Administrator Ben Martig. You're listening to 95.1 FM, AM 1080, KYMN Northfield.